Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Thank you. Well, I just wanted to say to start off with that I think we all need to be a little bit easier on Boyd K. Packer. He's obviously a homophobe, and he's really pissed off that he's been dealing with the last name Packer his whole life. This is a song about leaving polygamy. I grew up in a big house in a small town with blinds on the windows. We kept them all down. A secret society behind the front door with secrets that kept it alive. My daddy worked us over every once in a while with mom in the kitchen, the queen of denial. We said grace at the table, had prayer every night, but I always would sleep with a light. I was a runaway. I'm a runaway. I am a runaway. I'm a runaway. But I always keep running back to my home. I'd awaken in the morning as if nothing was wrong. I'd walk 2 miles to school to keep my legs strong. I'd sit at my desk, I'd only pretend I wanted to be somebody else. As time went by, it only got worse, till one day I awakened with a demon's curse. A streak of rebellion and a will of my own, and plenty of room I could roam. I was a runaway. I'm a runaway. I'm a runaway. I'm a runaway. But I always keep running back to my home. I'm going 80 on a highway, a road going nowhere. Oh, I have things my way. The emptiness is everywhere, everywhere. They say life's full of lessons we all have to learn. Don't get too close to the fire, or you'll surely get burned. But the flames are all around me and they're closing in. I just can't escape anymore. So into the fire all my demons were cast. It's a difficult thing letting go of your past. I have deep-seated wounds, some may never quite heal. I fear that I've lost what is real. I'm a runaway. I'm a runaway. I'm a runaway. I'm a runaway. So keep me from running back to my home. I'm a runaway. I'm a runaway. Who attended last year's conference? Right on. I did too. It was my first one. Even though I've been out of the church for a lot of years. But Craig Crittle last year gave this most impressive
PowerPoint presentation on Sidney Rigdon's involvement with Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery and how they got together and created the Book of Mormon. And he had all this great computer graphics and everything. And man, it made so much sense to me. And I sat in the audience and I thought, I'm going to write a song about this. I'm going to write a song about this and I'm going to play at the conference next year. And I didn't even ask. I was asked. Thank you, Peter and Mary, my cousin. So I had this piece of music that I'd been sitting on for a long time, because sometimes as a songwriter you'll have a piece of music and you just don't want to throw any topic at it or words. I mean, it's like I wanted it to be worthy of like really good words. And I played it for my cousin Jeff, and I played him both my Brigham Young and Joseph Smith songs, and he said, you know, they're great, but who is your audience for this? And I realized, you're my audience. He said, why don't you change the words and get it into the mainstream Mormonism? Anyway, this is called The Ballad of Joseph Smith. They called him Brother Joseph, a most extraordinary man, with a golden tongue, a magic stone, and a treasure-hunting scam. He would excavate for days on end for a prize he'd never find, but they would pay him for his trouble and be ashamed for being blind. Well, he met a man named Sidney, who was a legend in his mind, a narcissistic Christian of the Bible-thumping kind. They would put their heads together with the intent to hatch a plan to sell eternal salvation to every woman, child, and man. Well, do you think he had it coming? And I don't mean the promised land. Like a king inside his castle, he had a castle made of sand. Well, they found a book by Ethan Smith, Solomon Spaulding II, a then unpublished manuscript, and they knew just what they could do. They said Joseph found some ancient plates that explained all the Indian tribes. Then he pretended to translate them with Brother Oliver as his scribe. And the people came from far and wide. His congregation grew. Those who tried to oppose him were quickly silenced by the Danite crew. He would wield his sword of righteousness, call thunder from the skies, and his followers hung on his every word as he delivered his pack of lies. Well, do you think he had it coming? And I don't mean the promised land. Like a king inside a castle, he had a castle made of sand. Joseph loved the ladies, they would quench his thirst for power. The more he could convince of his revelations, the more he could deflower. His wives, they numbered 50, some were married to other men. But his prophecy and his philosophy let him marry again and again, and again and again. Well, his wicked ways caught up with him. He was arrested to be tried for treason against the government, and there was no place
he could hide. Well, I guess that mob had enough of him when they stormed the county jail, and shots rang out into the summer night from the window Brother Joseph fell. Well, do you think he had it coming? And I don't mean the celestial plan. Like a king inside a castle, he had a castle made of sand. Now his church numbers in the millions, but most really had no choice, hearing sugar-coated Mormon tales from a mom and daddy's voice. And his leaders sit on a conference stand with the illusion of being kind, and the people pay them for their trouble. They should be ashamed for being blind. Well, do you think they have it coming? And I don't mean promised land. These kings inside their castle, they have a castle made of sand.
Thank you very much. I waited a year to play that for you all. Oh, it gets better, believe me. Well, last year also at the conference, I was given a Arza Evans book, and I was reading it, and the first half of it is about Joseph Smith, and the second half is about Brigham Young, and I thought, I gotta write a song about Brigham Young. And I started reading and taking notes, and there were some certain facts that I was not really clear on. So I got on my computer to Google Brigham Young, and I really couldn't find anything. I thought, wait a minute, Arza lives right down here in St. George. I took out the phone book, and he's listed in the phone book. Arza Evans, ladies and gentlemen, listed in the phone book. So I called him one Sunday afternoon, and I said, hey, this is David Jorgensen. I'm the songwriter that wrote the Joseph Smith song, and I'm working on a Brigham Young song, and I needed to find out some facts. And Arza, bless his heart, he sat on the phone with me for nearly 2 solid hours while I took notes, he was just like this fountain of Mormon information. And I probably should credit him with co-writing this song, but the very least I can do is dedicate it to my good friend Arza Evans. This is for you. This is called Brigham Young. With a barrel chest, led a multitude of followers way out west to escape persecution of the local mob and to build a Mormon nation his primary job. So he dumped all their land at a fire sale price, prepared the families for a sacrifice, loaded their hand carts with all they owned, and walked 1,000 miles to find a new home. Crossing the plains to the new frontier, left the pioneers suffering year after year. 6,000 dead on the immigrant trail gave a whole new meaning to breakfast in hell. Brigham Young, Brigham Young, this is the story of the chosen one. Brigham Young, Brigham Young, the power and the glory of the chosen one. they settled in the valley of their newfound nation, bound by the law of consecration, deeded all of their land to the church itself, so that dear Brother Brigham could build his wealth. And he ruled his new kingdom with the iron rod. All his followers believed he was the mortal God. He said, "The church will provide for your basic needs, and eternal salvation is what you're guaranteed." Well, you better get used to your new way of life. Do exactly as I say or lose your favorite wife. There are plenty of brethren just waiting in line for a domestic goddess who looks so fine. Brigham Young, Brigham Young, this is the story of the chosen one. Brigham Young, Brigham Young, the power and the glory of the chosen one. Well, he stood all amazed as his nation grew, and communities spread like the Asian flu. Zion was the place they had come to live, but the Utah desert was all that Brigham could give. And the men who were sent on a colonizing mission were given extra wives for the imposition. Others were spread to spread the word of God. Their wives were reassigned while they were living abroad. Yeah, he was trafficking women and all of their daughters for the sexual reward of the sons and the fathers. A 12-year-old girl married to an old man was certainly a twist in God's eternal plan. Oh, Brigham Young, Brigham Young, this is the story of the chosen one. Brigham Young, Brigham Young, the power and the glory. This is the story of the chosen one. Brigham Young, Brigham Young, the power and the glory of the chosen one.
Pretty mean, huh? Well, I figure those guys were mean. They have it coming by an unknown songwriter from a small town. And my friends say, "Why are you doing this, David?" And I said, "Well, my great-great-great-grandmother crossed the plains with the Martin Handcart Company and lost big chunks of her feet and got here only to find out that her husband had taken another wife, and she had no concept of polygamy at all and lived the rest of her life alone, her children all married into polygamy, and she was stuck out here in Utah. I'm doing it for her." Marianne Williamson. This is my moment for her. Well, in closing, I want to play a song about my exodus from Mormonism. Years ago, I was commissioned to write a song for an author, Gary Zukav. If any of you have ever read his book, The Seed of the Soul, it's a really wonderful book. And they flew me out to Chicago to perform it at his conference, and I kind of, you know, when I started writing it, I was newly divorced and kind of newly left Mormonism at the same time. So I figured that the way Mormonism works is really this church that tells everybody, lies to everybody that you're being spiritually strengthened. Actually, you're being spiritually weakened. You're becoming spiritually dependent on their doctrine. And you're losing more and more of yourself in the religion. Rather than having it help you facilitate your life, your whole life turns into the religion, and it is your life. And that's the way they want it. So when people leave Mormonism, they're a lot of times very lost, very empty. It was great. Tal Bachman addressed that last night and talked about how we should get hobbies and we should, like, dig deep into ourselves and bring that part out. This is what I did, as I learned what my soul was all about and how to really gather myself, because everything that I had, everything that I was born with, I've had my entire life. That's all you ever need is yourself. We're born into this world alone, we leave this world alone, and we can make it through this world without bullshit.
So this is a song about my leaving Mormonism. Are you going to put that on YouTube? And there was a lot of years I could not play this song because obviously it really pulls at my heartstrings and brings back a lot of memories. But I'm gonna be okay. This is called "This Is My Soul." I'm breaking free of the bonds that hold me, trapped in this web of confusion. I'm beginning to see I was lost and alone, searching for truth that is real. For relief from this pain, searching for some way to heal. The voice of my soul, it beckons to me. I feel the sound of its message as it's flowing through me, coming out of the dark. Questions remain in my heart, embracing my fear. I see the answers appear, 'cause here in this moment is where I begin. Now I find healing where the light was once dim. This is my homeland, the place of my soul, where I can find meaning, where I become whole. The secrets I hold are stories untold. As I bring the truth to the surface, my intention unfolds. I know in my heart that I have planted a seed and nurtured by trust, I become all that I need. 'Cause here in this moment is where I begin. Now I find healing where the light was once dim. And this is my homeland, the place of my soul, where I can find meaning, where I become whole. Where I can find meaning, this is my soul. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Peter.